Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to the INFJ Whisperer podcast, where I dissect all things INFJ. You are not alone anymore. There are others like you.
Hi, everyone. I hope that you're doing amazing wherever you are in the world. My name is Boom Shaka, and I welcome you to my channel. As always, I'm really grateful that you're subscribing, commenting, and on my channel in general, just doing all those things that you do. I'm really grateful for all of my followers and subscribers and commenters. And I'm sorry, I haven't been posting for a while. I've just been tired from the travel and the packing and just like not in the creative mode. I haven't been even writing that much, but I'm back now, so hopefully this is okay. And in this one, I want to actually speak to you a little bit about how this is my experience, that INFJs in a lot of cases do have people who want to help them, or situations that wish to help them. But we're just so used to saying no to the help or to the person, or to in general, not asking for help, not knowing how to ask for help, not wanting help, not thinking that anyone can help us properly, that the help is present right in front of us. It's out there. It's saying, hey, I'm here. I want to help you. And we're sitting there thinking, yeah, I think I'm just going to do it on my own. Obviously, there's no help around. It's like it's there, but we don't even see it. And let me give you an example just to kind of clarify what I'm talking about. So I spend a lot of time on my own, obviously, because I travel on my own. And, you know, I'm roaming around the world on my own. And it makes sense, you know, like I've accepted the fact that a lot of the things I'm going to be doing is on my own. And I've gotten used to it. I don't even think about it anymore. You know, I'm eating by myself. I'll go on hikes by myself, I'll travel by myself, I'll set up everything by myself, etc. And it's normal for me, it's okay. And it's the thing that is my life, right? But when my sister came, so my sister and I traveled through Seoul together just now, Seoul, Korea. And so she came over from Toronto and I met her from Bali. So we kind of like, you know, met in the middle, kind of in the middle, not really actually. And you know, I was there with her, and it was the first time in 2-something years that I'd had someone around me, with me, traveling with me. And it was a little bit of a revelation for me, because in a lot of cases, I would be there, and she'd be standing right next to me, and I'd be trying to do something by myself, which needs the help of another person, and I'm like, oh, right, I am going to do it on my own. I didn't even think about the fact that my sister's standing right next to me. So I was trying to fill my water bottle from this tap that needs two hands, but one of my hands was occupied by holding the bottle and the other one was occupied doing something else. And I didn't have enough hands, basically, to fill up this water. And I'm just standing there thinking, okay, well, what am I going to do now? I don't have enough hands to do this. Oh, can I not get water? I really wanted water. And my sister's standing there thinking, hey, I'm here. I can help you, right? And she's like, I'm right here. Like, what are you doing? And so she pressed the button for me and I was able to fill the water. But I'm just literally in that moment, I'm just standing there thinking, whoa, I don't know how to be helped anymore. I don't know how, I don't see help anymore. It's around me and I don't see it. And I told an IMJ friend about this as well. And she shared a story with me, which is very similar as well. She was standing at washing her hands at a bathroom stall, at a bathroom sink. And she had her coat in her hand. And instead of giving the coat to the person who was standing next to her, her cousin, she put the coat in between her legs. You know how we sometimes hold things between our legs? And then washed her hands. And the cousin's standing there thinking, hey, so like, what do you think? Like, why didn't you give me the coat? Like, I could have held it for you. And the thought didn't even cross her mind. And she's an INFJ too, as I said. So it's probably an INFJ thing that it's there. The help is there. In a lot of cases, we're like, oh, I'm all alone. Sometimes, yes, you are alone and you have to do it on your own. Yes, for sure. But in a lot of cases, I do notice for myself as well, the help is there and I've either rejected it saying, no, I'm fine. I can do it myself. It's okay. Or I don't even notice that the help is there. Like they're standing right next to me or they have offered or I don't even hear it or I don't notice there's someone there. Whatever it might be, I have rejected the help in some way, shape or form, either verbally or psychologically, or I don't even see it. You know, it's just like I'm so like used to being alone and not having help. And it's not just me, because I travel a lot. Like, this is not just my scenario. I know a lot of INFJs who do not travel a lot and who do live around family or friends and they have a stable life. Even them, they will say that, oh yeah, I don't have any help around me. Despite the fact that probably people are coming to them saying, hey, are you moving this weekend? I really want to help you move. And they're like, oh no, I can do it myself. And then they're moving by themselves and thinking, oh, it would be really nice if I had some help. Not realizing that they rejected the help that was offered. And I've done this in the past too. And I'm thinking to myself, like, why do we do this? Now I get the vulnerability aspect of it. You know, this is something that is constantly in part of my videos. It's like, yes, it's hard being vulnerable. It's hard asking for help. It's hard saying those 3-4 little words. I need help, you know, can you help me? It's so difficult. I think they're as hard for us to say as I love you or I need you, I think is the hardest thing for us to say. I can say I love you easier than I can say I need you. I need your help. I can't say those words. It's so difficult. Although I'm really trying, as I said, as I get older, I'm trying to be like, okay, I will ask for help. And a lot of times it's like superficial help. For example, it's virtual help. So, you know, I'll call someone if I'm lonely or I'll ask Google for help. You know, Google is our best friend because it doesn't know that, you know, it doesn't know us as a human being. So it's fine. We can ask it for help all the time. So if I'm stuck somewhere, I'm constantly asking Google for help. And that's kind of partially how I, you know, figure out all the different things that I do. Is like, how do I live in this new place? Well, let me ask Google. Instead of going online and, you know, finding someone who lives there, or instead of finding a friend who lived there before and asking them for tips and tricks, I'd rather go to Google, you know. And it's really, really fun and funny because in a lot of cases, asking a friend is probably a better choice because they're human beings. They've lived in the place. They know what to answer. They know all the little things that, all the little quirks of a place that you need to know, you know, that, you know, did you know that Taipei or Taiwan, it offers, after a month of living there, free health insurance to anyone and everyone, like even the expats? I didn't know that. And I was talking to someone who had lived in Taiwan, and I'm planning to move to Taipei for a bit in the coming year. And so I was talking to them about it, and they told me this little tidbit. I would never have known, probably, if I talked to Google only, you know what I'm saying? It's a very stupid example, probably, and you're thinking, ah, silly. No, but really, though, a lot of times we would rather go to an artificial source of information than ask someone who's actually around us for help. And so I really get annoyed by this trait of mine. I don't know if you do. I really wish that I asked for help more often. I really wish that I was able to be more vulnerable in that fashion. In a lot of cases, I don't even know how to ask for help anymore, as I said, because I spend so much time on my own. And to say, hey, could you do this for me? It's still so difficult for me. Not that I have any solutions to this problem. Obviously, the biggest thing that we need to do is practice with it. And practice comes like little by little. You just kind of little by little become more vulnerable and ask for help. So first, maybe you ask for a smaller tidbit of help, like, can you give me a ride from here to there? And then you ask for a bigger tidbit, like maybe can you help me move? Or even bigger, you know, can you help pay for this thing that I'm kind of trying to pay, but I don't have enough money for it? I don't know. Obviously, your levels will differ, but each person has to kind of decide and then kind of baby step it up way to being able to ask for help without any difficulty. But as I said, INFJs find this to be one of the most difficult things. And it's not mostly because it's not available. It's not that the help isn't available. It is that it is available, but we don't see it, or it's available and we've already rejected it. We're like, nope, I can do it by myself. I can move myself. Yeah, yeah, you can move yourself. But why do it yourself when you can have someone help you? Why would you want to do that to yourself? Like, I've done so many moves and people have always offered. You know, when I moved in Bali as well, my friend was like, oh, do you need help in moving? And I was like, no. And like, even when he asked me, I'm like, but why would I need help? And then when I was moving, I was like, oh, it would have been nice to have someone to help. I didn't even think about the fact that, yeah, someone could have helped me move boxes and I wouldn't be the only one. And it would be nice to chat and do all those things. Completely didn't cross my mind. Completely clueless in that regard. And I think to myself, what? Why? Why wouldn't even cross my mind? And that's how we are as INFJs. We spend so much of our time building this independent exterior of ours. We might not be interiorly independent, but we are definitely exteriorly independent. And so we spend so much time building this exterior independence that we just don't know how to be non-independent or codependent after. You know, I'm not saying that we need to be completely dependent on people, but we don't have even a bit of dependency on others. And that's, I think, it's a trait that actually is a hindrance towards our future and towards our goals and towards growing up as a human being, as an adult. You know, it's you don't do that. You rely on people, and then that's how you grow and you mature and you build relationships, right? You build trust. And I've said this many times before. If you want people to trust you, you have to, first of all, you know, they have to trust you, which means you have to do things for them and they have to do things for you. It has to be a give and take. It can't just be them taking all the time. It's going to make you mad. It also can't be that it's not going to be like that for us, but it can't also always be us giving them or them taking and then us taking from them, right? It has to be a balance. And so you can't always be giving to someone and expect to have a strong relationship. They have to take sometimes from you as well, you know? You have to give and you have to take. So you have to ask them for help and then they have to ask for help. Like, you know what I'm saying? There has to be a balance. I hope that made sense. It has to be a give and take in general. You can't have an unbalanced relationship and have it be strong. I just don't think that's possible. And I'm sure you've noticed this as well. Whenever you're vulnerable with someone, that relationship builds. And then when they're vulnerable with you, that relationship builds further. And that's how you build a relationship. You make it stronger and stronger by showing your deeper, vulnerable, weaker sides to other people and then seeing the same in them. And the best way to do it is to ask for help. So I hope this makes sense. I really wanted to share this because I've been thinking about it since I came back. You know, I'm with my family now and it's okay. I can ask for help because they're right here. But even then, sometimes I'm like, I don't know if I want to. Yeah. So yeah, I still have to learn. Anyways, I'm really happy that you're all here. And hopefully this video is not, that it makes sense. It's not too abstract. And I shall see you in the next video. Again, thank you so much. And bye for now. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you want to put a face to the voice, you can check out my YouTube channel, Boom Shaka. Bye for now.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.